Welcome back, everybody. We have been joined by two wonderful guests, James Wright and Benny Eastwood, and a wonderful host, Steve Travesty, as well as 808 Free and Awake and JB. And I wanted to remind everybody, this is the largest internet listener-supported radio talk show network on the entire web. So send us a couple bucks, a couple hundred, a couple thousand, whatever you got laying around. Welcome back, everybody.
Keith, I am not happy with your introduction. How dare you put me underneath these people? I am number one. And I don't care about that, James, because I have been looking at the internet and I noticed that you were able to buy a PhD. You can actually buy a PhD without doing any work. So I'm now going to be searching for 33rd degree Mason with the matching outfit for myself. You may speak.
Does that come with Barbie's dream home and the Ken doll?
it comes with a large burning owl sacrificing some sort of child or something before it,
and yeah, a large that at Toys R Us.
Yes. sorry, that's a bit
wacky.
No.
Well, actually, there's this video this dude does, or is it Disney toys that you should not give your children, and it's all full of these toys that look exactly like genitalia, like the whole nine yards. It's really freaking disgusting. And in fact, that's probably the worst part of the entire truth movement is the massive satanic pedophile agenda. And the I don't know how much inroads, if you'll pardon the pun, do the Masons have in that world, James?
James?
He may have James. Stepped. You there, James?
Yeah, I was taking a short break. Sorry.
No problem.
But yeah, did you hear the question, James, then?
I did not.
Okay, well, you know how there's the worst part of the whole truth movement is learning about the global pedophile cult and agenda and everything? I was wondering how many inroads the Masons had in that world.
Tons. There's been a bunch of stuff that's been outed in the UK that the police were duplicitous with and so forth. And then of course there's been things here. When I came in, what I had direct knowledge of was when I came into that position at the Scottish Rite, I was briefed on some not too pleasant things that had gone on in recent years, that the reason they were briefing me on them was, you know, being told that in case anyone from the public or the non-Masonic world or the profane, as they like to call them, should ask you about that, then, you know, change the subject or, you know, just dodge the issue or whatever. And there was a pretty famous case back in Dallas, Texas in the 1980s of the current Secretary General of the Scottish Rite there at the time, who was caught having molested and raped, you know, a whole slew of boys from DMLA, which is, of course, the Masonic Boys Youth Organization. And it was all covered up and swept under the rug, and all of the evidence is locked away in one of their buildings that they own. It looks like an abandoned building from the street, but it's actually just, you know, inoperable offices where a bunch of files and things are kept, so that when you're in the Scottish Rite building, you don't see any evidence from the time period or names on plaques or anything else to remind anyone of that stuff that went on back then. And now, of course, it's been largely forgotten, and Dallas itself is, and that's the reason why I can't live there anymore, is the whole city is a Masonic epicenter, and it's just too dangerous. And I mean, when my book was published on New Year's of 2012, I had a good friend who's a major on-air 10 o'clock news anchor on, you know, regular antenna broadcast television there, major anchor, and I talked to her before the book was published, a few days before, and told her what was going on, and she said, you know, that she would love to do a story on it and everything, and so she began her investigation, as it were, and along the way was told that if you run this story, you'll never work in this business again. So she was forced to, you know, give up on it and all of that. And I didn't hold it against her because I didn't want her throwing away a career in a major market like that, you know, all on account of me. I would have felt rather guilty about that. But, I mean, this stuff goes on all over the place. I mean, I've heard of reporters who have lost their jobs in southern states, especially for so much as running a story about the Masons that did not present them in a positive light. And, you know, pretty soon they're no longer employable in the business. And, I mean, one of the things I have in what I call my evidence box is the PR manual for the Supreme Council of the Scottish Rite. And in it, it details exactly how you deal with the press and the types of stories that they want run. And it's always the same thing about, oh, we're having a pancake breakfast to support the local firefighters, or, oh, we're having a charity drive, this, that, the other, and all that. But, they never really give much publicity to the other things that they do publicly, which is like the flu shot program or the Masonic chip for kids program. So, I mean, you have this attitude of picking and choosing as to what they are willing to discuss publicly. And really all that they're willing to discuss publicly is, you know, to go into full hair and makeup and sit down for the cameras of the History Channel and sit there and say that, oh yeah, we're a bit mysterious, but you know, it's all in good fun and we really don't have any secrets and we're just fun, lovable old men. Well, no, one thing that the public needs to be crystal clear on when we're talking about this is none of these officials got to where they are because they're nice people. You can't think like you or I would think in understanding the minds of a psychopath or a malignant narcissist, because
well, on saying that, James, I don't mean to be horrible, but like yes, and like I know that you two spoke at length, Vinny, and you spoke at length about what these psychopaths are. But like I must add something there. If you held it against her, she might have told you you loved her. She loved you, and I think you'd have run to the hills. So please carry on. I just thought I need to add that. That's also the mind of the woman. You have to be very careful about that.
Well, actually, the mind of the woman is very similar to the mind of the man. Hmm, somebody's going to kill me or destroy my entire life if I do this. I don't think I'll do it.
You know, I mean, as difficult as it is to climb up the ladder in a major, major market like Dallas-Fort Worth, I mean, I didn't want her to you know, I didn't want to sit there and be catty about it and you know, basically give her ultimatums or whatever. I mean, I understood the position she was in, and so it's been a long, hard road. I've done this for 2 years, and I've managed to get the word out anyway. I had to, you know, go through the alternative media, and it's people have said to me many, many, many times that it's amazing to them that this is not yet broken out into the mainstream. I mean, because you have someone like Jenna Miscavige, niece of David Miscavige, the leader of the Church of Scientology, come out with some tell-all book, and overnight it's 60 Minutes and CNN material and all of this. And I have an aunt in the Northeast that called me a few days ago and told me that she has a friend who's getting out of some horrible marriage and the divorce proceedings are going through, so it's all good news for her and blah, blah, blah. And she's written this tell-all book because the husband she's divorcing is some sort of high-up official in the KKK. And the book is not even written yet, and this woman already has Simon & Schuster you know, wanting to buy up the rights and publish it, which is the biggest publisher in the world, and Paramount Studios in Hollywood wanting to buy the movie rights, and it's not even a finished product. And it really makes you wonder. I mean, the censorship that I've dealt with is just through the roof, and it's an everyday thing, all the way down to things like a book signing that was scheduled on Hollywood Boulevard one day, and masons went in pairs and threatened the store owners and it, James, had it stopped.
On Scientology, did you see that South Park is one of my favorites. It's quite brilliant. But they did a Scientology one and that was banned everywhere. And that was really interesting. And then the KKK all comes from the same place and people still don't understand, even though you're telling them, but people still don't understand where this is really coming from. They don't get it. They just think oh, it's Obama. Oh, we should have voted for, I don't know, Hitler-y.
Let me tell you how serious and protective the Scientologists are. When I lived in Hollywood, I lived right next to the city blocks that they occupy with their complexes, the Celebrity Center and all that, from Santa Monica down to Hollywood Boulevard with L. Ron Hubbard Way that runs, down the middle of it. And when you turn on those streets, and if you loiter too long in your vehicle or whatever, they scan your license plate with a camera and run it, and if you come up in some database of theirs that makes it appear that you are possibly a threat to Scientology, then they dispatch one of their security guards with a little billy club to come up to your car and tap on your window and tell you to move along and get out of their neighborhood.
Have you ever seen there's a movie called The Master that came out? It was one of the last movies that what's his face made? The guy who just passed away with the heroin situation. Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix was in it as well. Did you ever see it?
I have not seen that. I mean, I really wish that you have these celebrities that say that they're into this truther movement and everything, and I really wish that they would go all the way, because I do not believe that their careers would ultimately suffer with the celebrity that they already bring to the table.
Oh, that's not true, man. Look at what happened to Charlie Sheen. Weeks after he's starting to talk about 9/11 on InfoWars, he's getting his car stolen and driven down cliffs and things like that. His wife files for divorce. His kids start getting taken away from him. Mate, they have an incredible enforcement arm. And even, what's his name, Randy Quaid, the brother of Dennis Quaid, came out public on mainstream news that he believes... and he was close friends with a lot of celebrities that had died at the time, like Heath Ledger, for example, that they actually have what he called star whackers working in the industry who will kill you and make it look like a suicide or a drug overdose or something like that if you speak out against the established order.
Well, okay, yeah. That is true. Yeah, I mean, touche on that. And actually, I had a very disheartening phone conversation about a week ago with Tila Tequila, who you put me in touch with originally, Vinny, and she's, informed me that she's basically giving up on this whole patriot movement right now. She's going to concentrate on her personal life, and she's in a new relationship, and she feels that that's all going well, and she said, they're basically going to win anyway, so why keep fighting them? And it was a very defeatist tone that she was taking on, and I was very sad to hear it. And so what do you do?
She tried really hard. She tried really hard. I think
she tried really hard. Yeah.
So why should she continue? If she'd already put the information out there, it's now time for them to listen. Now she should look after herself. It is time for people to listen to themselves.
Well, I think you should be able to do both at the same time. Like, I've been pretty much working nonstop for the last 3 years that I've been given a radio show, and 4 years previous to that, just as a street activist and filmmaker, full time, no actual employment, just trying to support myself. And I've just come off, not 2 days ago, like a 2 month break. And I was very, very grateful that my listeners actually kept donating to me for like nearly 2 months when I hadn't produced a single minute of content for them to consume. That was actually enough time for me to get my head back in the game, because it's like a war of attrition, right? This movement will wear you down. you need to recognize what your warning signs are when you're due for a breakdown or when you really do need to take some time off. And don't think like, oh, I'm just going to take a day off and that'll be enough. You actually do need extended periods of just sitting around not having any of this stuff in your face. It's like detox, more or less. The truth is a drug, and you do get addicted to it, and then you start having really bad symptoms of addiction. That's when you got to give it up for a while. And then when you get back on it, the drug works again, and it's awesome.
Yeah, but another correlation.
I totally respect you, Vinny. I totally respect you, James. I totally respect you, Keith. I totally respect you, Stevie. Stephen. I totally respect you. 808 is a good core, but I totally respect all of you for doing that. But like, I need to go into my hibernation stage. It's like, I think I have to wait until after they wake up, because they can't wake up unless it hits them in the ass. I don't know how to say that.
Sometimes,
do you know what I mean?
Here's another conundrum about getting involved in this. I mean, like me, for example, one of the number one ways to make me angry right now is when people have made the suggestion recently, like, oh, well, you're falling on hard times, you're broke, this, that, the other. Well, just go out and get a regular job to subsidize doing all this. Well, are you serious? What am I supposed to do? What is my work history? Am I supposed to list the Scottish Rite as my previous employer and here's their number column for a reference? Or am I supposed to wait for the person interviewing me to Google my name and see all this Freemason, Illuminati, blah, 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 you know, come up? I mean, my God. You know, come on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, try applying for work when you're over 50.
And also if I may, because I didn't get to fully finish a thought. The main reason, James, why I brought up that movie The Master is because The Master is kind of it's a fictional story, which is basically the L. Ron Hubbard story, but they changed all the names and whatnot. But it's, you know, but it's Philip Seymour Hoffman plays the L. Ron Hubbard styled character, and they talk about, you know, it's about a man setting up a pseudoscience based cult, you know, when he writes these books and he has all these things, and Joaquin Phoenix kind of plays his acolyte. He's like his star pupil. He's like this alcoholic man with kind of like, I don't know, he's got like some sort of mental retardation or something going on. He was in the Navy during World War II, and I think that had like some sort of effect on his head. And so Philip Seymour Hoffman's character takes him in as a test case of his program of making him less an animal and more of a man kind of situation, and that's like what the movie's about. And I'd recommend checking out that story just because I think it's kind of very telling, and it may be one of the chief reasons why Mr. Hoffman is dead.
Perhaps. I mean, it sounds like a great movie, and I'd like to check that out. And one that I would recommend, you know, to anybody interested in this Masonic and bloodline type theme, there's a German film of all things. It's called Das Blut der Templer, which is German for Blood of the Templars. But to find the English Americanized dub version, you have to search for Code of the Templars. There was a little mistranslation in the title or something like that. But it's so weird to hear
an English person speaking an American accent. You're English. Carry on.
Well, if I'd been on the phone with friends from Dallas, you'd hear the southern twang come out, or if I was drinking, same thing.
He sounds like Boomhauer when he's doing that, like, dang old man, you know, exposing to me.
Did you know that? Okay, I know people in Texas that talk like that. That is a real accent, and I understand every word that Boomhauer says in that show. He actually has dialogue. I'm not kidding.
I've caught his dialogue here and there. Like, yeah, there's something there. I mean, it's the same thing with Kenny from South Park. Kenny is actually saying things, and he's the most filthy mouth on the show, which is why they did that. So they put him in that little hoodie thing, and he's just talking with his mouth covered up like this. So that way they can get away with murder, because he says all sorts of dirty, dirty stuff. Plus, with his head in that thing, he looks like ladies in between the legs.
Speaking of in between the legs.
That's why he looks like that with the hood up.
Speaking of which, I was just wondering as well, does anybody else find it difficult, like, as a single truther? I know there's a lot of my listeners who have actually explained this to me. The inability to get laid is a palpable thing when you're a single truther, right? Because you go to a real hot girl or something like that, and you start talking to her for more than 2 seconds, and you're like, Jesus, she's a slave scum. And you just, you're like, you lose interest, and you, like, migrate off somewhere else. So we go from, you know, speaking of that movie, The Master, once you get into the truth, it can be very difficult to get laid. So you go from watching Master to necessitating masturbation, and then you're not a walking phoenix. You're a wheelchair-bound phoenix bursting into horny flames.
Well, I'll throw you one better than that, Vinny. You were recently married, and congratulations again, by the way. You straight people have it a whole lot easier than gay people when it comes to dating and being in the truth movement, because for what it's mind-boggling, actually, because as many gay men are prone to rallies and protests and this, that, the other, the ones that I meet and have dealings with, it's like the fact that I'm entrenched in this Masonic stuff, it just blows their mind, and it seems to be this giant turnoff, and as a result, I find myself, you know, very dateless.
See, that's the problem, you know? You blow their minds, and they don't even blow you back.
Exactly.
They're not, because they're apparently falling off of trees in San Francisco, I mean.
Yeah, well, but what is it they're an activist of? Is it a gay issue, or is it a broader political...
James, I think you're a bit beyond the gay issue. You were so radical that you decided to wear a blue T-shirt. Shouldn't that be a tie and shirt that you should be wearing there? You would not wear that because you knew what it meant. And then a little tie, little pin. You're like, you are so radical that they couldn't cope with you. That's been the way.
I think.
And for straight men, if you wish to be laid, just pretend that you are nothing, and the woman will convert you very easily. You don't have to do anything.
That's actually true, because you look around, you see all these, like, total losers who just get laid all the time. And then you see all these really cool people who are, like, real bright, and they're up and coming and whatever. Can't get a date to save their life.
That's that whole bad boy thing.
You see, the thing is the thing that makes it a problem for James as a gay man is that the strongest vein of this movement is coming from people that either still identify or are coming from what was the conservative right of no matter where you're from, you know, especially here in America, it's guys are disenfranchised Republicans, so on and so forth, that may also and highly likely are still extremely Christian, who are falling right into the predictive programming of, my God, Barack Obama's the Antichrist of the Book of Revelations, and here we go. We're in the Armageddon's around the corner, and the Mark of the Beast is coming through Obamacare, which is all true, but not in the Christian sense. But long story short is that at the end of the day, there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of conservative straight men in the movement.
That's an excellent point, and that's another reason why I came to find out that New Falcon, my publisher, was duplicitous in this agenda to control the information I was putting out, because I've now had other publishers tell me that putting a subtitle on my book, the gay rights thing, was the worst thing imaginable that they could have done, because there's actually nothing in the book that has to do with that. The word gay comes up very briefly when talking about the sort of sex propositioning and that kind of stuff that went on there in the office, but the majority of the book is not at all anything to do with that. The book is me breaking down how the place operates from the moment you're an apprentice all the way to when you're a 32nd. So it was just... They were purposely trying to down market the book, and it seems like it worked.
You're not gay. You pretend to be gay, but like, that's just like, that you maybe that your body reacts to that.
No, but look,
like,
at
that isn't
guys.
Really what you are.
All right, well, stick me in a room alone with Prince Harry, and we'll test that theory.
We'll see how hairy he is. And another thing as well, don't be discouraged, gay men out there. At the rate the New World Order is infecting all the plastic with estrogenic material, the rest of the population of straight men will be turned gay soon enough. So you'll have a plentiful supply of newly, freshly gay men who need their hand held. Through the journey of sexual
And here's another problem with it all is when you're in my position and you're speaking about these
what
type
position
things,
is it doggy? I'm sorry, just keep going.
This is another problem with mixing these boundaries is right now with the gay thing. If you're at all outspoken about anything to do with Obama, then the gay community demonizes you because Obama is like their hero right now with all of the gay marriage and things that he's done. And yeah, and he's done a lot for the gay community. No, I mean, I can't deny that and congratulations, whatever. But what else has he done? You know, horrible, horrible things. So, But you know, you can't tell people this. You get started down this path.
Yes, I must interrupt you again. No, Obama has a Nobel Peace Prize after the first couple of months. Well, actually, it was almost before he was even brought into power. And Obama also has provided Obama phone. So there you go.
Yep.
He's wonderful.
Well, James, what do you think about Obama's husband?
Who are we talking about?
Oh, he went there. Talking about
you're saying before,
there's a very, very strong and legitimate conspiracy theory that Michelle Obama is actually, his name is Michael, and that he's a tranny.
Well, I wouldn't.
I mean, at this point, nothing shocks me anymore with that type of stuff. So, you know, I would not.
Okay. I just wanted to know if maybe you had some sort of like, well, when I was in the Masons, we, you know, we knew about the plan of to have Michael come in and be the first man. And, you know, I was just hoping you had something like that going. All right. Fair enough.
I have to add this. One of the people, I'll use his name. Rectify. He doesn't call Michelle that. He calls her Moose Shell. Which is, I find that kind of amusing. Like, you know, you use the word fracking instead of fucking. Oh, ooh.
Hiro.
Sorry, because I'm like, excuse me.
It's called fracking instead of the other one. So you don't actually have to violate the FCC regulations. Which, by the way, I have a little message every time that happens for the FCC.
If there is any repeat, Hiro, I'll have to drop you. That's just network policy.
We all make mistakes, but Hiro.
It was my accent. I'm sorry. It's my accent.
Yeah, it sounded like freak.
Say that word.
Like freak.
It was my accent that went wrongly.
You know, he was actually speaking Korean.
Was actually saying an anagram for what's it called? Fabian.
He was talking about a Kung Fu King.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Both those two are completely correct. That's exactly what I
mean,
was saying. Just came across incorrectly.
Earlier when he said Obama has a Nobel Prize, I mean, I heard that Obama has no bell end. And
say
the other element, I wanted to – Obama has no bell end in English nomenclature. That's code for no
– the bell doesn't translate. I got to –
Yeah. It's British for having no wiener. Kind of like the US Congress after that scandal with what's his name, Wiener. And the other element, I wanted to introduce.
Let's be careful with accents.
Back into it, because JB did say something a little while back about how, you know, some people are really stupid and they're not gonna wake up and that kind of thing. And I've occasionally adopted that perspective, but now I've started to come round to it because Dr. Rima Labo told me something that was very interesting. It takes seven different people, mind you, to tell you the same thing before you let go of a previously held belief. So And something Steve actually said earlier is about how we got to play our part. And see, that's the thing. I will say something to somebody, and if they bite my head off, at least I've played my part. Maybe six other people will say that same thing to them. Or maybe they've already had six people say something, and then I stop myself from saying something. I could have woken that person up right there and then. And even if I couldn't wake them up right there and then, I could help them on the road to it, yeah. Even if they're not ready to receive the information yet.
I'd like to make a quick comment. I think the other thing that's speeding up the process of people waking up is they're being hit in the wallet. And so they're looking for answers, and they're finding voices like ours.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, this is a good point, actually, because with the grip that the Freemasons have on the mainstream media, you know, this only is going to go so far. And when these network executives continue to see the rise in ratings and possibly advertisers and everything else that goes along with the radio business, the dollar is going to have the final say, and they're not going to give so much, you know, any more of a care to what the Masons grumble and write in their hate mail. Like when I was at KFKA in Denver in August for a month, the Masonic hate mail poured in every single day that I was there. And there was a Masonic lodge three doors down from the station, and they would all stand out there in their trench coats trying to look all ominous and scary, you know, every night when I left the station and all that. But that was all they could do. And the station just did not care, and that was a good example of, you know, how something got through on the mainstream. Is I was lucky enough to have a run-in per chance with a network executive who had, you know, the attitude F it and ran with it. Because as they put it, me on their show, it was a nighttime show, they had not had their phone lines light up with callers past 10 o'clock p.m. in months. So
the question is, was it worth the effort?
I think everything happens for a reason, so yeah, I think it was.
Let me tell you something straight up, because this is to respond to what Vinny was saying about like the seventh person, as well as talking about the mainstream media and bringing up something that we were talking about way, 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 way earlier. Edward Snowden, right? Yes.
You mean Santa Claus?
Santa Claus, right? Yes. Santa Claus.
Did you know, incidentally, Santa Claus in the North Pole is Snowden?
Sure, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter if Edward Snowden is a Fig Newton of my imagination. The point is that the message that the public got from Santa Claus was real. Even though Santa Claus himself is not real, but at the same time, they all believe in Santa Claus, and therefore, look to us, when Edward Snowden came out and said, yeah, everything is being spied on by everyone all the time, to us in the conspiracy community, we've been saying, duh, since 1947. You know, ever since the NSA was conceived.
Well, yeah, actually, he's not said anything other than any episode of The X-Files has ever said.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The mainstream media allowed this thing, this basic concept that we all knew was true and can prove it's true, and he didn't even have to prove it. The point is that he was given the credibility clout on his name, and it was put there in the mainstream cycle, and that did its job very well, because I had friends that were calling me up saying, Steve, I owe you an apology because of the Edward Snowden situation. All right? The energy didn't go to the mainstream media. The energy went to Revolution Radio. So for whoever put Santa Claus out there, Santa Claus brought us the people, because that did not help the mainstream media at all. It helped us tremendously.
Well, I agree with that premise, but again, it causes false idol worship.
Yeah.
James, let me ask you, what is the benefit to the Masonic movement by using Edwin Snowden as controlled opposition. What did they gain?
The most intelligent theory I've heard from some people in the know is that he is CIA, and this is a little internal war between the CIA and NSA. Because if you notice, everything he says demonizes the NSA and glorifies the CIA.
Okay, but it's still exposure nonetheless. Maybe not to the degree that it should be.
Look, it's simple. The intelligence war is falling apart on itself. There's infighting, and they're eating their own. Because, James, as somebody who's connected to all these bloodlines, you do admit that it's a little bit like Game of Thrones out there, where on a certain level, family members are allowed to kill each other.
Gentlemen, we're quickly running out of time, and we have been joined by another caller. I want to give them a chance to ask either of our guests a question. 816, please ask your question.
Yeah, good evening. I'm curious now that are the Masons concerned that the petrodollar system is dying now? I mean, it doesn't last that much longer, or doesn't seem like. And do you have any idea what they think they'll go to next?
I have no idea what they might go to next. There's obviously this big push toward, like, electric cars and everything else, which, I mean, I think is rather silly because, I mean, when you can take into consideration, like, the works of Nikola Tesla and so forth. But
can I jump in here, James?
Yes,
what they're going to do after oil becomes really, really low supplied? Depopulation. Less people, more oil for us.
Well, I don't see the oil low supply. We got the highest reserves we've ever had right now in the U.S. But I'm wondering about the petrodollar system where, you know, they put everybody in debt with treasury reserve notes that you have to exchange, you know, buy goods using dollars, using oil, using dollars. But the countries are setting up their own trade agreements right now.
Right. The BRICS
so
for
the
one.
Russia, China.
Here's the secret about oil.
What are we going to go to next as a currency-based system? If this
it's going to be
out,
the New World Order currency.
It's going to come back to the U.S. eventually. I mean, all these treasury bonds have got to come back. You know, all the money's in this used to be a flood to system.
I think James has an answer, Casey. You should let him. You should let him respond.
I think want us on oil as long as possible, and one of the big secrets about oil, when I was a child in the 80s growing up in Texas where you're surrounded by oil, I mean you can smell it in the air, even in the cities, there was this big debacle about, you know, the wells are running dry and blah, 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 and they capped a lot of them and everything else. Well, in the early 2000s, the oil engineers and scientists and people all went around and were doing routine tests and, to their surprise, figured out that these wells that had been capped off for, you know, about 20 years now, were suddenly full again. So this peak oil and all this stuff, I mean, it's pure nonsense. It's just scare tactics to drive up, you know, the prices at the pump. And the energy exists for free energy. I mean, we could all have little devices on our houses right now and not have an electric bill or, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's about, I mean, what was that quote with J.P. Morgan and Nikola Tesla's invention and, well, how do you put a meter on it? You know, so that's where the Masons want to go with it is put their meters on it.
Yeah.
Well,
J.P. Morgan had an investment in the copper mines, and he wanted to have copper wiring going all about. So it was not just metering it, but he wanted to sell the raw copper material to run the lines. So he didn't want to have it wireless or unmetered.
Right.
And he also didn't want much competition, which is why he invited most of his corporate competitors on a ship cruise called the Titanic, and then got off in Ireland and watched them all drown.
Oh, and you want to know what's funny about that? They never actually sunk the Titanic. They changed the name of the boat. They had another boat that was an identical model. With
they actually had fleets
and everything that was that they had ordered to be decommissioned anyway, so they had a full spectrum win by destroying the boat that would have cost them a fortune to decommission
and collecting the insurance.
Titanic running until like the 1950s.
It was the Olympic. Yeah,
the Olympic.
It was Atlantic, Olympic, Titanic.
That's not really my question. I mean, everybody, you know, the world's awash in oil. I mean, Venezuela's got 5 trillion barrels compared to Saudi Arabia's 400 billion. I mean, the world's awash in it, but we're working off the petrodollar system in the U.S. Like, you know, for you have to buy dollars to get oil.
In the world, we're all working off the petrodollar.
When this ends, it's going to end. I mean, it's ending now. I mean, the countries are setting up their own trade deals. The inflation's going to come back to the U.S., I think, and everything we import is going to go up like 50 to 80%. That's when everything will go nuts here. I'm just wondering if you see any signs for a new kind of dollar here.
These people are globalists. They don't. Why should America have preeminence? You know, they don't.
Well, there is that Bitcoin thing, which, I mean, how could that possibly be policed? That's all keystrokes on a computer. So,
the element here that I think we need to be cognizant of is the admission by David Rockefeller and obviously Standard Oil in that regard. That they need to destroy the United States. And the petrodollar is the only reason why you're able to buy your groceries or buy your gas at the moment, because it is the world's reserve currency to that degree.
Well, David Rockefeller is one of my cousins, so I should write him a letter and say, naughty.
Yeah, hey, Kyle.
let me just fix that. Destroy the United States, but keep the American people. That's fine. But destroy the United States. Yeah.
naughty rock.
You know, it'll be good. You know, you'll have big screen TVs, volleyball. It'll be a great camp. You know, it'll be like a summer childhood all over again, except with extermination.
So you don't really see us getting off the eliminating the treasury note at all, then, or the U.S. dollar, or going to a treasury reserve note, or something like that. So you haven't heard anything.
I don't think any of us knows what's going to happen with that, caller.
Well, these people's motto is order out of chaos, so there's a sneak preview of how it'll all go down.
Right.
Spoiler alert for everybody who's afraid of the end of the world.
At the end of the day, man, it's just like, don't give them the chaos that we want. Or that they want, right. They're gonna do the things that they can do with the things that they can control, such as the price of oil, the value of the dollar, et cetera, et cetera. But you can control yourself. There's no need to start a riot. There's no need to rob from your neighbor. However, there is a need to come to terms with who you are and to come to terms with your neighbors and to band together and to create your own order out of their chaos. You can control that. And that's what they don't want. And that's it's quite possible that they may have wanted to crash the dollar 5 years ago or something like that back in 2008, but they didn't ultimately, because maybe they realized that we weren't going, the Hegelian dialectic wasn't there yet. The program wasn't there yet. The problem reactions, like, we weren't giving them the reaction to their problem that they wanted. So they halted the solution in its tracks and they don't know what to do with it.
Well, here's one of the larger problems. Okay, when you are a 32nd degree Mason, you're taking that oath and in it you swear off the form of government in which you live, and you adopt what they call the Scottish Rite Supreme Council's form of government. So that becomes your higher authority. So ergo, the solution to this problem is to outlaw Freemasonic membership holders from public office, same way that psychopaths should not be allowed to hold public office. There's the start.
If you are not part
James
of any secret societies.
James is being English. When he says ergo, that means therefore. So please continue.
the question is, who gets to be in charge of diagnosing who's a psychopath or not? I mean, they're pretty darn clever about it. It takes a lot of study of the subject, you know, because like right now they're trying to do the same.
Even experts
on control, where they're just like, oh, you know, we want to have a mental illness screening process before you can go out and buy a gun.
Hey, Steve, you're right.
All of us would qualify as having a mental illness. It's called being rebels.
Yeah, Steve. However, there's two elements to that. Number one, it's very difficult to diagnose somebody with a mental illness because there's never any blood test or actually scientifically verifiable evidence to prove whether or not
that's
one
why
has
they
one.
Stuff up with hocus pocus.
However, element two, there is such a thing as psychopathy, and there are experts in it who know how to diagnose these people. However, I saw a documentary called I Am Fishhead, which was the very first study ever conducted upon what they call corporate psychopaths. And some of the expert interviewers admitted that you won't know who a psychopath is, even if you're interviewing them every single day for sometimes months, even years at a time before you figure out who they really are. They're incredibly adept at hiding it.
Well, then perhaps they should be shot full of sodium pentothal before they are interviewed by the experts.
That's another problem, is that they found that psychopaths can pass lie detector tests because they believe their own BS. Even if you shot them up full of pentothal, it wouldn't work on their brains because they lie as if it's the truth. The chemical reaction there that makes them feel like they're lying and they shouldn't isn't there. And it doesn't matter how much ecstasy they take, they can't feel empathy. It doesn't matter how much weed they smoke, they can't have an open mind about stuff. The chemical composition of a psychopathic brain doesn't have the same twix as the rest of us. There's something inherently alien in this condition, in my opinion.
Predator.
And it's existed
Predator.
For thousands of years.
Yeah. I hear you.
Predatory composition.
Let me make a comment, if I could, Vinny. One of the hosts on this network is named Sherry Edwards, and she's developed a program that's free to download that she says that she can detect the notes in somebody's voice and tell if they're lying, and tell a great deal about them. And she demonstrated on – we had her on the show a couple times. And, Steve, you've had her too.
The psychopath doesn't know he's lying though, Keith. Oh, she is lying. They don't know.
And, but you can't change the notes in your voice.
Oh, but the thing is, Sherry is so good.
How do you explain Bono's singing?
She can even tell you what is wrong with your body via voice over the internet from a few, couple of phrases. That's how good she is. But the psychopath is like it lies to itself. I've watched them because I attract those creatures.
Yeah, well, yep. It's a possession.
It's just about the lying, though. The program does a lot more than the lying. It tells you a lot of stuff about yourself. So,
Well, there's an interesting element there, but is it 100% verifiable 100% of the time with zero margin for error? Because that's the kind of margin of error you want to be talking about if you're going to restrict people's freedoms to engage into the public sphere or in elections or something of that nature. All right. Now, there's another thing about the United States, which I severely disagree with, and I'd really hate it if it was law here, is that people who have a criminal conviction can't vote in the presidential elections. And I find that really ironic because the only presidents that get elected are criminals.
Well, yours is called John Key, isn't he? Donkey.
He works for the Federal Reserve Bank. 2 years as the head of European bond and derivatives trade, which Money Magazine said was the prime cause of the 2008 financial crisis. Incidentally, the same year he got elected as the Prime Minister of New Zealand to save us from the financial crisis that he freaking caused.
Hi, scumbuggery.
That's what always happens. Like the British police who withheld evidence from the Diana inquest, they were all made lords. So, you know, you can break the law openly and then you're rewarded for it, as so long as it supports the criminals above you.
Yeah. And also I discussed this with Thomas Sheridan about what if it was an offense or something of that nature to be an actual psychopath. What he said, and I also added on that I don't think you should ever outlaw something like being a psychopath, because you would never be able to actually come up with the moral justification for it to a point where you're like, okay, it doesn't matter. Let's just kill him. Sweet as. And Thomas reinforced this point by saying that even if being a psychopath was outlawed, guess which psychopaths would get all the flack? Guess which are the ones that would be hauled into jail and executed? Not the ones that are worth billions of dollars. It'll be the lower level psychopaths on the streets, the ones that'll slash your throat and then run away with your handbag or something of that nature. And the real bad scumbags, the ones that you're actually thinking about putting that law into and force to prevent them from destroying the world, they get off scot-free, just like those they always do.
Those are sociopaths. Psychopaths are similar to sociopaths, but they are capable of long-range planning. And so,
hey, Vinny, I wanted to get in one.
Yeah, exploit their lesser.
Vinny, Vera texted me. I forgot to ask you this before. She, again, wants you to come on Revolution Radio as a host, and so she wanted me to relay that to you.
All right. I'll think about it, man.
Excellent. Okay, we're coming up to the end of the show.
I'm loving it.
Let's get your websites out again.
Okay, James, do you want to go first? No, I've already started speaking. It's the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. And you can also have a look at YouTube as well. I'm a prolific YouTuber, nearly up to 3 million hits on that. I'm actually going to have a, it'd be nice if the listeners would buy me a bottle of liquor or something like that to celebrate my 3 millionth hit on YouTube. That'd be great. But anyway, you can either see me on YouTube or on my website or catch me on Facebook. Under Vinny Eastwood, Vinny with a Y.
Hey, James, why don't you tell us yours again?
Yes, it's Dial M for Mason, much like Dial M for Murder. You know, Masons and murder go hand in hand. .weebly.com, so spelled out, that's dialmformason.weebly.com.
Excellent. Any closing comments from either of you?
You want to take this one first, James?
I mean, I've been doing this for 6 hours now tonight on Revolution, so I'm sure the Masons are, as usual, mad, so I'll, part with my usual nyan.
Hey, Vinny, I'd like to say, if you do decide to come on board Revolution Radio, I'd like to be the first to welcome you.
All right, yeah, and again, I'll consider it, because I was, in fact, just thinking about that earlier today, and I was like, well, hold on a second, if I don't actually have a network and I'm totally independent, that means I can go on as a guest on any network I want, and they'll never not have me on as a guest because I'm on a competing network.
I don't think that's the problem here.
I don't think it's a problem here per se in terms of the get, but think about the larger, more scumbaggery-controlled networks that might be able to get my word out further about, exposing them and what have you. There'll be plenty of hosts on there that, even when I was a host on American Freedom Radio, it's an unwritten rule of most radio networks to not allow competing radio network hosts airtime so that they can steal your audience, which I think is actually from a business perspective, pretty reasonable. But from a truther perspective, if my objective is only to get the truth out, it doesn't work quite so well for me.
Well, that's impressed me about People's Internet Radio that I'm on, is they actually do replays of shows from Revolution Radio, and I think that's really awesome of them. So,
well, we thank Tasker.
Thank you, everybody. It's been a really great show. I'm so appreciative of everybody coming on.
Thank you, Keith.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Later.
Christian Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.